Please take your seats. I want to share today about the roads to success. How many of you want to be successful? Lift up your hands. Wave at me if you really want to be successful. You know, we're made in the image, I say this again and again, but we're made in the image of a great God. And he wants us to be like him. He wants us to radiate his greatness and his goodness. And I want to look at a couple of Bible characters today, and I'm going to look at two tracks to success. That's the title of my message, Two Tracks to Success. And all the music people in the house, I'm not talking about two music tracks. Do you know, let me tell you a little, I had the funniest miracle happen in America last weekend. I was ministered somewhere, but it was a church where it was full of musicians and worshippers. And anyway, I ministered the word. God had touched people's lives. And then in the time of ministry afterwards, I'm holding the microphone. And the musicians start this wonderful song that just touched my heart. And the next thing I knew, I'm bursting into song. Now, how many of you know that's a problem? Because you see, my heart's desire is to be a blessing. Turn to your neighbor and say, only sing out loud if someone's going to be blessed. I'm joking. You don't need to say that. But, you know, I'm careful about how often I sing over the microphone. Anyway, I suddenly I'm singing. But it wasn't just any church. I mean, this is musicians and worship leaders. And the pastor of the church is an internationally known singer and musician across the Latin world. And I'm like, what am I doing? As I burst into song, which I won't do, don't worry. But you know what? Someone else's voice came out. Do you know, God, it was what was in that house, in that church, came upon me. And I sung with this beautiful, Jen, it wasn't yours, it was a soprano voice. I mean, this woman goes so low, I don't know how she can get back up. You know, I sung in this beautiful soprano voice. And it carried on for a while, and then I got so freaked out, I stopped. But anyway, I'm not expecting that miracle this morning, so I won't be opening my mouth to sing. Well, no, you should be relieved. I remember Sarah once imitating me when I'd sung in the middle of a message. And I thought, you know what, I won't do that again. The way she was kind of, as she described my dulcet tones. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has your best interests at heart. And some of you really believe that. You know, believing that God has our best interests at heart is a journey. And I want us to look at two tracks to success this morning. And I want to start by looking at one particular character. And this is a young man that was one day just out roaming around looking for his father's animals. He was just sent on a mission by his dad, go find the missing animals, you know, and bring them back. And there he is, minding his own business, really. And he's just looking for some donkeys, can't find them. But then he has this extraordinary encounter with a prophet called Samuel. And he is invited to this very, very special dinner where he's treated differently to everybody else. And I just want to read a couple of verses, and I'm going to read from 1 Samuel chapter 10, and I'm going to read three verses from here. Because what happens is this man called Saul has this really special dinner and then wakes up the following morning and everything had changed. How many of you, you know, you've dreamt of that day when suddenly there'll be an overnight success? It's true, isn't it? You know, there's that sense of we hear stories about people where there's a sudden turnaround, you know, about singers and you know, they're just practicing in little back end places and then there just happens to be a certain producer sitting listening. You know what I'm talking about? And there's a suddenly, say suddenly. And so Saul has a special dinner, goes to sleep, and then wakes up, and everything is different. And I'm just going to read a couple of verses. So verse 1 says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? In one moment, Saul went from being just somebody looking for donkeys. Then he meets a really important man. You never know who you're meeting. You never know who it is who's going to be able to give you the keys to your breakthrough. He wakes up the following morning, and this man that he's just met pours oil over his head and says, it's you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's you. I want to read verse 9. It says, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart, and all those signs came to pass that day. So he'd been given this list of words and signs from Samuel. How many of you, you've had prophetic words from the Lord? Or there's things in your heart that you just know you're destined to fulfill. How many of you wave at me? There's things on the inside. And you just know that those are things that you need to see happen around you. Well, for Saul, suddenly, all these things just happened in his life. And then verse 24. It says here, I think I mean over the page. Verse 24, well, I can't find what I mean. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth. That's not the verse I was looking for. So then, literally a few verses later, Samuel announces that Saul is king over Israel, and it says, and all the people said, God bless the king. Long live the king. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's overnight success. Turn to your other neighbor again and say, that's overnight success. You see, Saul was just going about his business, and then there was this suddenly. And he went from being a nobody to being king of all Israel. I want to look at two tracks to success today, because you see, there's something on the inside of us. You know, whether we've even visited America before or not, we've heard of the American dream of just, you know, landing in a nation. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, landing in a nation or going to a place and just every dream, you know, as you work hard, just seeing everything come about around you, irrespective of your background, you know. And so often we have all these hopes and desires and dreams, and it's all too easy for us to be so weighed down by seeing things delay and delay and delay. I ministered a few weeks ago on how discouragement tries to set in. And really, this is a continuation of this message in a different direction. But you see, I want to tell you about another kind of success this morning. And I want to call this enduring success. Okay? So we've got on one hand, overnight success. Say overnight success. That sounds great, doesn't it? But on the other hand, we've got something called enduring success. Say enduring success. You see, we're not going to go into it, but if you watch the life of Saul, he experienced an overnight success. But within a matter of years, we don't know exactly how many. That man had completely crashed and burned. Are you hearing me? You see, I hope by God's grace, you're more concerned with the long term than the short term. Are you hearing me? What's happening in the long term is more important than what's happening in the short term. And I want us to look at someone else, and you can probably guess who, because he's the one that follows in Saul's footsteps. He's the second king of Israel. And that's a young man called David. I'm very quickly going to tell you about his life, and then I want us to go somewhere today. So David was first told that he would be king when he was just a teenager. And it was like God was just reassuring David that he was with him. Because he gets told by the same prophet, Prophet Samuel, that you are God's chosen man. You're going to take over from Saul. You're the next man to lead Israel. And that was when he was just a teenager. And not long after that, he goes to battle with a giant. You all know the story. And he kills Goliath. He fights Goliath and he kills him in front of the whole army of Israel. And then soon after that, he gets talent spotted. Isn't that another thing? You know, I'm not a singer, in case you hadn't already realized that today. But, you know, for singers, there's always that sense of, gosh, when's my talent going to be spotted? Isn't that right? And David's talent got spotted as a harpist, and he gets hired to work for the king. And so you can see he's thinking, wow, things are really turning out in the right direction. And he's then invited to live at the king's palace. He becomes best friends with the prince, but then everything goes horribly wrong. I'm talking about enduring success. Are you hearing me? Things go horribly wrong for David. You know, what does he go through? Well, first of all, he's falsely accused of treason. King Saul accuses the very man who was trying to serve him with all of his heart of betrayal and disloyalty. David has to go on the run and he has to escape King Saul because now this man who'd once talent spotted him and invited him to live in the palace now wants to kill him. Are you hearing me? Have you ever felt like someone, you've gone from, you know, being the belle of the ball to suddenly everyone's worst nightmare? Ever felt like that? You know, one moment the boss is celebrating your successes and the next minute you're being blamed for everything that goes horribly wrong at your company. Are you hearing me? I'm talking about enduring success. In other words, success that lasts. And so David suddenly finds his life changes in a horrible way. We see in fact, if we can go there, please, 1 Samuel 22, verse 1. Things get so bad for this young man. You know, he's probably now in his 20s. I want you to imagine, how many people here are in your 20s? Just raise your hand up high if you're in your 20s. Right? Bim? Really? No, Tottenham Pete's got his hand up. Right, can we have the spirit of truth, please? We welcome the spirit of truth in the house. Now how many are in there? Thank you, Jade. There's some honest people in the room. Okay, so here is David, just in his 20s, a young man. And he escapes from someone wanting to kill him. Can you imagine going through this just as a young man? You know, the person who's your father-in-law. You know, the man you once called dad now wants to kill you. And this is David. And it gets so bad, he runs. And he goes down to this cave. And he's living in a cave. I've never lived in a cave. I've slept in parks. I've slept in some pretty ropey places. But I've never lived in a cave. You know, the Bible says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Let me put that differently. No test or fiery trial that you're going through right now has seized you except something that others have gone through before and come out the other side. Are you hearing me? You know what the enemy wants you and me to believe? He wants us to believe that what I'm going through is worse than what anyone else has gone through. My situation is just the worst of all. Are you hearing me? But it's a lie. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. Again and again in the book of Ecclesiastes. And here is David, he's in a cave. This man, I want you to just imagine it for a moment. This man who's been prophesied to and be told you're going to be king over all Israel is sleeping rough. He's homeless. On the streets, cardboard city. You understand, a bit of creative license. And not only that, if you just skip to verse 2. You know, Often I look at great people. You know, great musicians, you ever notice they always have fantastic bands around them? Have you ever seen that? You know, when you if you go to a great company with an awesome leader and you look at the people around them, you just see phenomenal people around. It's like the best attracts the best. You know, and then here's David. He's got this prophetic word. And who's attracted to him? Let's have a look. Everyone who's in debt, who's distressed, who's discontent. Are you hearing me? Not only is he living rough, but then it's only rough people who want to hang around him. You know, and sometimes, you know, it can be like that. I don't know what's going on in your life, but you might look at the people who are, you know, who are around you and just think, oh my goodness. I mean, don't look to the right and the left now. Church is different. But you know what I'm talking about. You know, you think, gosh, if you knew the kind of people I work with, if you knew what was going on around me. And so here's David, and God sends him a bunch of messed up men. And then his family come too. That's what the Bible says, that they end up coming to the cave, but they can't stick it. I mean, they never really thought much of David anyway. You know, every account we have of communication between David and his family, really it's not good. His mum and his dad aren't there for him. His dad doesn't care the less about him. You know, have you ever felt forgotten? Anyone here ever felt forgotten? Right? Well, David felt forgotten. When the prophet says to his dad, look, I want to pray over all your sons. Bring them out. Imagine, you know, that opportunity. Imagine if like some really amazing person came to you and said, I want to pray over all your children. Oh, you're thinking, wow, praise God. You know, I love my children, so I can't wait to have this great prophet lay hands on them. And what do? You only bring out six and you leave one. You only bring out seven and you leave one because you don't really, well, just leave David to the sheep. Are you hearing me? And then even his family get fed up in the cave. And it says, my brother, later on in scripture, it says, my brother, in Psalm 69, verse 8, we see him saying, my brother and the children of my mother, they left me. They took off. I'm talking about enduring success. And so David is left. And there's a whole decade, 10 years, that David's living rough, that David is in caves, hiding in the woods. His life is being sought every single day to murder him. You know, and that's the state that he's in. Listen, you know, I think there's an amazing, amazing scripture. And I want us to look at it right now. 2 Corinthians 4:17. 2 Corinthians 4:17. And it says, and we're gonna chop the second phrase out, but it says, for our light affliction is working for us. Stop there. Look up. For our light affliction is working for us. That word affliction, if you look that up, it's a word that means pressure, trouble. Anyone feeling under pressure right now? Anyone feeling that in some area of your life, you're just in trouble? Persecution, tribulation, it's all the same word that can be expressed differently at different times. For my troubles, for the pressure that I'm feeling under right now is working for me. What's that saying? You see, if someone works for me, they have to do my bidding. Are you hearing me? If someone works for me, then it's for my sake. It's that they can fulfill my mission, my purpose. If I hire you to work for me in my company, then I'm going to set you to work fulfilling my goals. So what's this saying? This is saying the very pressure in your life is actually on your side. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's all on your side. It's working for you. David went through years and years, probably around 13, 14 years of pain. And then when the first promotion came, there was still more pain, but we'll not talk about that today. He went through a decade of being on the run, a decade of living in a cave and in woods. But it was working together for his good. Our light affliction is working for us. You know, I want to look at another verse. John 3:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper and be in health as your soul prospers." Let me put that one differently. Brother, I pray, because what does the word prosper mean? Succeed. Brother, I pray that you will succeed to the extent that your soul is succeeding. Let me put that differently. You see, I believe that the enduring kind of success is one that manifests from the inside out. Are you hearing me? If we will really diligently seek success on the inside, I believe that ultimately there will be no choice, but it will have to manifest on the outside. You know, I love movies, and there's one movie that I really love. And, you know, some of you have heard me say this before, but, you know, I used to have a problem with rom-coms. And I don't anymore, I don't think. Okay, so this was my problem with rom-coms. I'd be watching it, and if it was a good one, ladies, you know a good one. Right. If it was a good one, soon I am the leading lady. And I am standing in that movie. And all the things that that man is saying, he's saying them just to me. And I'm, and you know, I remember one time. How many of you have seen, what's it called, First Kiss? How many have seen First Kiss? Yeah, is it called that? Is it called First Kiss? Yeah. And she's standing in the middle of the football stadium, waiting for a first ever kiss. I mean, I watched that scene about 10 times over. But don't tell my husband. It's not Valentine's Day today. That's on pause while I tell this story. So I had this real problem with rom-coms because I would be the leading lady and I'd be in that movie going, yes, tell me it all, you know? But there's one line I always remember that Julia Roberts spoke when she had Hugh Grant standing in front of her, you know, and she's saying to Hugh Grant, you know, I'm just a girl standing in front of a boy. I think I've watched this more than once. Asking him to love her. And he walks away and she says something to him. She says this. She says, do you know, the fame thing isn't real. Let me try and explain. Success that is external only isn't real. If you want to know how successful you really are, can I tell you, there are only about two or three people you can ask. You know, do not be moved by watching people get promoted. Do not be moved by job titles or by increasing popularity. Let me tell you, if you want to know if I'm in any way successful, there are three human beings you can ask. You can ask my husband, you can ask my son, and you can ask my daughter. Because honest truth is, no one else will be able to tell you whether I'm becoming more loving. No one else will be able to tell you if I'm becoming more patient. No one else will be able to tell you whether I'm dealing with pride in my life. Are you hearing me? Success is something that I believe God wants you to manifest from the inside out. He wants you to become so well on the inside. He wants your soul to be whole. Turn to your neighbor and say, how whole is your soul? You know, God wants to do this, and I believe that through everything that David went through, God was doing a work in him. Are you hearing me? God wanted David to succeed in the end, not just in the beginning. You know, I really desire to end well. And God wants you to end your life well. It doesn't matter what age you are right now. It doesn't matter what got you to the point you are now. It doesn't matter how many mess-ups you've had. What matters is the decisions we make today. What matters is what we allow God to do in our hearts today. Say today. It's today that counts. Hallelujah. And so King David went through all this stuff. All this stuff. You know, I believe that what God was doing with David is seasoning him with struggles. He was using persecution to perfect him. He was using trials to test him so that he could become a man that was strong and reliable and would be able to go and go and go and go. Are you hearing me? You know, I find it amazing that even Jesus, you know, it says that, how is this even possible? It says even Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. You know, you and I have to learn through the tough times. Those tough times that you're facing right now are there for your sake. They're there to help you. They're there to help you become someone that can really possess your future, that can really make a difference. Are you hearing me? You know, think about it. Jesus is God, yeah? And so God sent himself into the wilderness. Anyone like times of temptation and trial and testing? God sent himself because Jesus knew, God understood that human nature has a route to developing character. And it isn't on the mountaintop. You know, it isn't when things are going great that you and I develop character. It's when we go through tough times. It's when we go through something and come out the other side. You know, I think one of the biggest things that the enemy tries to do when we're in the midst of trouble and difficulty and painful times is he wants us to think our situation is worse than other people's. You know, I'll never forget, shortly after, and I don't remember how long it was after, but in the months after our daughter died, just before her second birthday, she was our only child, and, you know, we had absolutely no, well, I had absolutely no sense that we were about to hit the biggest tragedy of our lives. One day, she's running around within 24 hours, literally, our little girl had been pronounced dead in hospital. And I remember feeling literally that my pain was worse than anyone else's pain. I remember feeling that somehow what I'd gone through was worse than what anyone else was going through. You see, comparison doesn't help. Are you hearing me? Comparing your struggle and your pain with someone else does not help you come through. And I remember feeling, you know, gosh, it's just so unfair. We protected this little girl. We did everything we could to raise her the right way. And there we were. You know, and we didn't give up quickly. We prayed over her, believing God not only for her to be healed before she died, but then to be raised. But we buried our little girl. And for months, you know, we would be recovering. And there was a restoration going on because God's faithful. But I still felt that somehow my lot was worse than yours. I'm just being very honest. And then we were sitting down one day watching the news and watching the floods in Mozambique. You may remember terrible floods that happened twice in Mozambique. And we saw this man. And he walked about 18 miles, if I remember correctly, with his little girl in his arms, just trying to get some clean water for her to drink. And he reached the clean water about a mile too late. And his little girl died in his arms. And I remember that day something happened on the inside. Because he was in a worse place than me. Are you hearing me? Suddenly I saw that his suffering was far greater than mine. He'd walked trying to just get water. And she died in his arms. You see, the Bible says that no test that we go through is something that someone else hasn't already gone through and come out the other side. And if we allow those feelings of somehow me being more worse off than others to remain through trouble and testing, do you know it will prolong the trial? It will prolong that period because, you see, when John prayed, "Beloved, I pray that you may be in health, that you may prosper, that you may succeed just as your soul prospers." I believe he's praying not only for them to be promoted, but there's an element of constraint to that. Are you hearing me? He's saying, "God, Lord, don't promote them before their time. Father, don't lift him up before he's ready. Lord, I don't want an overnight success for this one." Are you hearing me? I want an enduring success. So, Lord, do the work in his heart. And you see, one of the things that God wants to use is the tough times. But if in the midst of the tough time, I'm just feeling so sorry for myself, then I am going to prolong the period that it takes for me to come out the other side. You know what I really believe? I was praying about this. And one thing, the enemy doesn't come up with anything new. The devil just copies God and then comes up with a demonic counterfeit. Yeah? So, you see, there's this scripture, which if you've been around me for 5 minutes, you've heard me share over and over and over again, which says the Father of all comfort comforts us. Say comforts. 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 He comforts us in our troubles. It's the same word, folks. He comforts us in our troubles that we may be able to comfort others, that we may be able to succeed, that we may be able to grow strong, that we maybe we'd be able to come out the other side with something that'll help others, that we may get over self. Are you hearing me? But you see, I was praying about this. I believe the demonic counterfeit to comfort. You see, what does the enemy do? He looks at what God does. So comfort is this powerful thing that covers us and takes away the pain, enables us to access the healing power of God, and then strengthens us. That's what comfort does, God, supernatural comfort. I believe the demonic counterfeit to comfort is self-pity. Because what the enemy wants is for me to feel so sorry for myself, it comes over me like a blanket. It prevents me from being able to access the healing power of God because I'm wallowing in the pain that has afflicted me. It's the same word again, afflictions. And what God wants us to do is to say, Lord, this stuff's for my benefit in the long run. Are you hearing me? It's going to come out all right in the end. I'm believing you for the turnaround. You see, David was promoted. Turn to your neighbor and say, promotion is coming. David is probably the most successful king in all of Israel's history. Amen? His son Solomon had a different kind of success, but in terms of conquering and extension of the kingdom, and in terms of his heart for God, David was the most successful king, because I believe what happened is success manifested from the inside out. The most dark and terrible season of his life. My husband's written an entire book called Welcome to Ziklag about how to recover after tragedy, how to recover after something terrible goes wrong in your life. We need to know how to handle those things. And you see, Ziklag happened. If you read your Bible, I don't believe that his worst time happened any more than a week before he was promoted. What did he go through at Ziklag? He lost everything. Everything he'd built in human terms, his city that he'd built, was burned to the ground. His family was taken away. His leaders turned against him. Suddenly, he looked like anything but successful. But within a week, you see, this is a different kind of overnight success. Are you hearing me? Because he'd allowed himself to be transformed by the process of hardship that he went through. He'd forced pressure and trouble and pain to work for him. And in the midst of those dark times, he said, you know what, God, I'm going to turn to you still. I'm not going to complain in the midst of this. I'm going to pour out my troubles before you. Again, again, what it said. You see, we've got to know who to complain to. You see, if I complain to my brother or my sister, of course there's times to share, but if I complain to them, then they can't really do anything about it. Actually, what it often does is magnify the feeling of complaint on the inside. But you know what David learned to do so often? It says in the Psalms that he poured out his complaint. He says, I have complained. I've poured out my complaint before the Lord. He came before God and said, this isn't right. This is awful. This is difficult. And in that terrible time in Ziklag, I believe he did what he'd learned to do over those really difficult years. And he did that in that moment. No sooner has he come out of Ziklag, and we find that this young man is within about a week of that terrible time, he is crowned as king of Judah. I believe that God wants you to receive something today, which is, you know, don't despise the tough time. I know it's hard. You know, it says, consider it pure joy. I mean, I haven't reached there yet. Can I be honest? I mean, James, wow, he says in his book, consider it pure joy, guys. Whenever you face trials and pure joy, I've not yet leapt into partying. Wow, yeah, we got robbed. Hallelujah. You know, I'm not there yet. You know, someone lied about me. Wow. That's what James says to do. You know, I'm work in progress. Anyone else? But what I believe underneath all that, because he knows it's tough, is he's saying, guys, I want you to realize that if you will just celebrate anyway, rejoice anyway, you know, maybe not just start to praise Jesus for you know, making your car break down this morning, but praise Jesus anyway. Are you hearing me? Because it says, my brothers, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, knowing that the testing of your faith produces something. Do you remember we said afflictions work for us? They're producing something in you. The trouble, the pressure, the hardship is producing something in you. What is it producing? Two things: perseverance and character. And it says it again in Romans, perseverance and character. Do you know what I love? Is in the Romans section, in Romans 5:3. It talks about these tough times producing perseverance, character. And then it says character produces hope. What's that about? You see, I believe that saying that we can reach such a point where our character has been so stabilized in the things of God that in the midst of anything, we still have this hope that is alive on the inside. Are you hearing me? They're working for you because God wants you to succeed, not just for a moment, not just for a year, not just for a couple of years, but for the rest of your life. God wants a success that is eternal, that when you get to heaven, you can be rejoicing in eternity for the work that he's done on the inside. You know, I thank God because one of the things that we've always said about everything that we've gone through as a ministry is that we've got nothing easily. Everything has been tough to get. But you know, it produces something on the inside where you value it, where you appreciate it, where you value people a bit more because you couldn't have got there without them. Are you hearing me? And out the other side, there is something that is produced that is so sweet and so good. Would you stand to your feet? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, as we just spend a few moments praying, I just want to encourage you, everyone in this place, and you know, if you're on a mountaintop right now in your life, if all is going wonderfully well, then just put this away for a rainy day. You understand the expression? But if right now you're going through something, you see, perspective changes things. It changes us when our perspective changes. That day, when it was my husband who made the comment, when he said, you know what, they're going through way worse than we've gone through. That change of perspective enabled me to reach a place of complete restoration that I could not have reached if I still felt that I was worse off than anyone else. I suddenly realized, you know what, people have gone through worse the world over. It was time for me to just receive the fullness of my healing and move on. Right now, if you're going through something, just everyone with your eyes shut, I want you to picture that something. I don't know what kind of pressure you're facing, but I want to encourage you to picture that something. And I want you in your mind's eyes right now to look at it and to say to that something in your heart, you work for me. right now, turn it around in your thinking. And just say to that issue, to that problem, to that trouble, you work for me. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that we are on a journey of transformation. That, Lord God, you are manifesting success and wholeness in our souls so that out of the inside, success will manifest on the outside. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just while we remain in the presence of God. You know, if you're here today and you have never yet given your life to Jesus, I sometimes look at my life and I don't know how people get through without having this constant source of strength that only the Lord God can provide. But it doesn't come from just believing in him. It comes from when he resides on the inside by his Spirit. It comes from when we invite him in. And right now, if you haven't given at some point, there's a point where we need to make a decision and we say, I give my life to you, Lord God. I ask you to take control of my life. I want to meet you in a personal way. If that's you today and you're saying, I want to experience the love of God. I want to know him as my friend. I want his plans and purposes. I want to know why I'm here on planet Earth. Because that's what we get when we know him. We discover our purpose. Right now, while everyone else is praying, if you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get to know him. Would you just lift your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Maybe you're here and you once walked with God. And you're saying, I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. Would you lift your hand so that I can pray for you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I speak your blessing over every single person in this place. Let's just pray together. If you just say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for me. Thank you for the plans that you have for me to make my life successful, to bless others, and to be useful. Father, I thank you for your love. I receive your love today. I receive your love today. And I thank you that I'm being transformed from glory to glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.